So we're going to talk about, here's what the Spirit will not do for you. The reason I frame it like that is we need to understand that there's a responsibility on us as well. Amen? In other words, it's not going to come and pick you out of your chair and throw you out of your chair. You have to decide to wake up of that, get up of the chair and decide to walk somewhere. Does that make sense? By the prompting of the Spirit. So let's talk about this. In Mark 4:21, Jesus went on, does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it on a table on the mantle? Imagine you going to Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, or your favorite place to shop, or Amazon, buying a lamp, bringing it home in a box, your dream lamp. Your dream lamp, you're like, this is what I want for my house, for my study table. Bringing it home and then putting it under your bed, if there's space, or under bathtub. What is the use of that? You spend so much money, you spend all the time to look at how it fits your house, to do all that stuff, but then bring it home and just put it under the bathtub. Now, I know some of us still have your gifts from last Christmas time. They're still under the bathtub and all that stuff. But hopefully, you bring that out and give it to someone. But I'm talking about your favorite lamp you bought and you just put it under the bathtub. What's the point? I use that illustration to say that sometimes we hear God. The Word of God is spoken to us. It's imbued in us. We believe it. We know it can happen. But we do nothing about it. We don't take the lamp out of the box, plug it in, hit the switch so the light can come up. We just admire the lamp. We bought the lamp. It's an awesome lamp, but we're never going to use it. The Spirit will not shine if you do not plug in with God. It will not work. It will not work with you if you will not switch it on. Maybe you switched it off for whatever reasons. There are many reasons why we get to this space of not putting on the Spirit. One is just, we don't know what to do. So ask someone what to do with your life sometimes. Another is just stuff that we feel ashamed of. Talk about it and get some help with that. Another is just sometimes we don't think we are competent. Then get the necessary help to start making that movement. Does that make sense? Another is just sin sometimes gets in the way. Okay, get help with that too and start moving forward. Does that make sense? It's possible that the lamp has been put under the bathtub. It's time to start taking out of the box. The Holy Spirit is in you and then use it. And let God use you. So it will not get on by its own. You have to do some work. All right, let's see if this is, I'm clicking right away. The Spirit will not walk with knowledge alone. John chapter 3, verse 9 through 10. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are an Israelite teacher. Jesus, and you do not understand these things. The story is that he comes to Jesus in chapter 1 asking, how can a man be born again? Jesus answers, unless he's born of water and spirit. Surely you're not saying that the man will go back to his mother's womb. No, absolutely not. Basically, it's telling that to be get in the kingdom of God, you need to repent. And he was a teacher. So Jesus basically says, you're a teacher. You don't understand this stuff. Do you know how sometimes you know so much? You know so much, but you don't apply it. I mean, we know so much about how much time we should take sleep, right? But we don't apply that. Do we sleep as we should? It takes 8 hours, so I just do 3 hours and I'm good. We know so much about that. Some of us have done all the research about the lighting in the room and all that stuff, but we still let the lights up in the room. And the phone is right next to your ear and all that stuff and beeping and all that stuff, and you're hardly sleeping. And you wonder, what's going on? But you know that you should not be doing that stuff, but you're still doing it. And you think, because I'm getting away with it, I'm fine. The Spirit will not work just on knowledge. You have to practice it. There must be some obedience. Oh, we can go on and talk about how much we know about what we should eat and not eat. And let me be clear. This has nothing to do with weight issues. This has just to do with being healthy. Because some of us think because I am a small guy, I'm fit. The other day, my wife said to me, "You look tired." And I said, "I don't know what it is." Then I said, "Let me take a walk." When I took a walk, the same hill I used to go up so quickly, I could hardly go up. So don't be fooling yourself about how I look and says, "I'm okay." No, it's whether you'll allow the circulation to take over and do some exercise and walk through that stuff. How much do we know about that, but hardly do anything about it? In fact, the curse of the 21st century is knowledge. Knowledge, 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 zero doing. We know this, we know that, we know that. I say, yeah, but what do you do? What do you do about it? You do nothing. You see, we know a lot about the Bible. The average member, if you came here this morning, you already know a lot. You heard a lot of stuff. And we talked a lot about the Bible. The average member of us hears a lot about the Bible. That's not the problem. We don't go past that and allow the Spirit to work. So even though you know it, but because you're not applying it, the Spirit can't move. Because knowledge alone will not make things happen. There must be practice. This was a teacher of the law. He understood everything, but he was lost. Why? Because he was never practicing it. Church, I want to really challenge us around that space. We've got to go past just knowledge and start to practice what it's true in the Scriptures. And when you start to practice, you'll catch yourself being stuck. That's when you grow. That is when you grow from that space when you're getting stuck. The Spirit will not be legalistic. Yeah, the Spirit will not be legalistic. Let's read here. Galatians 3, verse 5 through 6. This is the Message version. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with His own presence? He does provide you with His presence. Lavishly. It's among us. His Holy Spirit walking things in your lives you could never do for yourself. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's within us. Does He do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust Him to do them in you? One of the biggest challenges about us as Christians is that we like to, when we don't seem to figure out God, we go to what we understand. So we start to perform. And when you start to perform, you're very legalistic in that space. Because you're measuring what's doing what, what's not going well. You know, for me, all the teams that are in Georgia are my teams because this is my first state living. And so right now, the Braves are doing pretty good, you know. And you're looking at how they're doing. I think I was talking to Steve the other day. He says, I think, you know, we may get in that World Series. Who knows? Well, the Falcons, we'll talk about it another day. You see how we're rating stuff? You understand that stuff? We're rating, oh, Atlanta United. Oh, wow, my goodness. We're in the game over there. Does that make sense? What about the Hawks? Don't bring that up yet. It's all measurement based on performance. The Spirit is not legalistic at all. So the problem of legalism is that you judge things according to your perception. Not according to God's perception. According to a human perception. And the human perception is very much conditioned to the world, not to God's standards that are way higher. The Bible says, yeah, does these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God. That's what happened to Abraham. He believed when God said to him, "This, you'll have a son." And he believed God. And that act of belief was turned into life that was right with God. You see, because the Spirit is not legalistic, you have to have faith. But if you have faith in God, then you have to trust when He brings it around. That is the most difficult thing for us, where we can get very legalistic. If you think about how you do things, it's very legalistic sometimes. To a point where it's just, if you don't do it, you think something is wrong. We don't know how to write the Spirit and say, let me a God Spirit in my life. If you take time to listen to God and understand how God works, life is dynamic, it's amazing, it's fulfilling, it's full of purpose. When you do not tune in with God and have a relationship with God that moves you in faith, then it is mundane, it is boring, it does nothing for you. Christianity is heavy, is dull. To the best of me, it's one of the most dynamic life you can live as a Christian. You hear God, you wake up with fulfillment, with hope, with faith, and not discouragement. And your problems are just an opportunity to talk to God and say, God, you got to help me out on this one. Amen? It's not a reason to give up and to say, if I'm a Christian, why am I going through this? You're going through that because we had this morning, you're being tested sometimes. What an opportunity, if you know it's a test from God, how to be faithful, to wait on God, knowing at the end of the day, God has the victory of this stuff. Not the way it will turn out. He has victory. Not the way you want it, but He has the victory. That is an important understanding. The reason we're stuck is we're legalistic in the way we see God. We're very legalistic in the way we see the world. If it's not done this way, something is wrong. Says who? It doesn't happen on my time, something is wrong. Says who? Wait on God. He'll bring you around at the right time. And in the meantime, keep being faithful and obedient. The Spirit will not make choices for you. You're not here because the Spirit forced you here. You made a choice to come here this morning. Amen? Well, the young ones, you may have been brought by your parents, but I hope you can. You may make some choices in the future. I understand that. I understand that sometimes you're told, we're coming to church, let's go together. The Bible says the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Do you understand that? Yes, he was prompted by the Spirit. And then he ran up to the chariot. Once he got there, he had to make a choice to ask the man, do you understand? He could have just got to the chariot and kept quiet. Do you realize that you have to make a choice? You know, there are so many people looking for God, but we have to make a choice to ask that question. Do you understand what you're reading? There are so many people that God brings our way, but we have to make a choice to say, would you like to hear from God? I can tell you about God if you give me just 40 minutes the next 6 days or in a week, in a month. Let's talk about it. And you hear from God in amazing ways. The reason sometimes we're not so evangelistic, it's we're just not making the choice to say, let me say something to this person. You don't make the choice. You want someone else to make the choice for you. Tell me what to do. The Spirit of God is in the Word of God. You read that Bible and you let it lead you, you will begin to respond. But here's another problem. Some of us have honestly switched off the Holy Spirit conversation. We switched off for so long, we have no clue how it speaks to us anymore. So now we run on how we think, reason, what's the logic? That is our question. The Spirit is not always logical. He was doing pretty well here. But the Spirit said, you go to the desert, go find a guy over there. I need you to talk to this guy coming out of Ethiopia. It's not logical when you're having a thriving ministry over here. Why go to the desert? Are there human beings over there? The Spirit led him there. Because you're so logical, you will not hear the Spirit. We've got to come back to not being superstitious, faithful, hearing the Spirit. Amen? Not superstitious. Not having your own things on the side and trying to put the gospel on, sprinkle this gospel on it. Really hearing the Spirit. Amen? That's how he got there. But you have to make a choice. Do you realize you have a choice? You really do have a choice. You have a choice to focus on the Word or to focus on your problems. You have a choice to focus on what is good in your spouse or what's negative in your spouse. You have a choice to be a happy single brother, sister, or to focus on what you don't have in life and be unhappy. You have a choice to be encompassed and have a thriving life and focus on God and God using you and have a great time, or to be encompassed and just be weighed down with academic. You have a choice to be a teen that is thriving, finding themselves, or to just fit in and die with the crowd. You have a choice. There are many choices to make. The Spirit will not make that choice for you. You have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. That's your responsibility. So as we talk about the Spirit, let us not sit around saying, I'm waiting for the Spirit to prompt me. It's there. Can you make a choice? Make a choice and make movement. Tune into the Spirit's ways. I like to say, if you didn't grow up in my time, in the olden days, I had a radio. It was an AM radio. And I lived in under the mountains of the AM radio. What does that stand for all those electronic people? I think I need Mark to help me out on that. But it is FM and AM. So FM is pretty clear. AM radio is just, you have to dial in there and you're moving that thing all the time. You're tuning it. Then it gets to the right space. You're hearing the radio, the channel pretty good. And then sometimes the channel gets interfered with something else. Then you have to tune it again. I'm sure you must wonder, what world was that like if you're a young guy? You're like, what are you talking about? That was radio back then. That was radio back then. You had to sit down in the channel, you listen to that jazz music. You're like, man, that's pretty good. And then something moves. You're like, oh, man, we got to tune it again. It's not like today you hit the button, the digital comes on, and that's the FM. It's clear. Man, I had so much stuff going through. You sometimes got the police channels coming through, Roger, Roger, and all that stuff. You're like, I don't want to hear some policeman rogering anything. Can we just get on with the stuff? And I think that some of us are like that. Some of us have tuned out the Holy Spirit. We're not on the FM at all. We're on AM. In fact, I think that to come to today's world, some of us have opened so many windows on the computer, it can hardly process. So many windows are open on that computer. It can hardly process anything. It's just like, you're like, how many of those open? You're like, 1,000 windows open. It's just going black. You cannot tune in the Spirit when you're that open to so many windows. You got to tune into the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, dancing, if you like dancing, it's a very easy thing to do if you know when the people are going to go right. You jump in when they're going right and you go. If you lose it, you wait for when they go right. In and here you go. It's not a hard thing. The Spirit needs you to tune in as well, to be in step. Read your Bible. Be clear-minded. Do not trust some back door, but get in that space of hearing the Spirit. That space gives you energy. It gives you a purpose of, I need to go because I feel the Spirit calling me this direction. And when you're clear like that, you don't doubt, am I in the right space, the wrong time? No, you know that God has put you the right time, the right space, the right people. That takes a lot of prayer. That takes connection with God. It's not hooking. This is not, let's see what happens. No, you've got to connect. The Spirit wants you to be in tandem with it. I ask you today, do you need to shut down some windows so that you can hear God? Maybe that's what you need to do. Shut down some windows and start hearing and open the window of God. Do you need to move away from AM radio and come back to an FM radio that's really clear and loud? Do you need to figure out when the dance is going to go right with the Holy Spirit and jump in and start making that move? You can't keep standing on the side and saying, I don't know how to dance that, I don't know how to do what. You got to get in. Get involved. Tune into the Spirit. It's not complicated, but it's not a formula either. That's why you have to tune in. It's not a science. It's a relationship with God. That's when you have to tune in. Prayer is a starting point. Now that I've talked about what the Spirit will not do for you, prayer is a starting point. So I want to switch a little bit the gears. I said, here's what the Spirit will not do for you, but here's how you start doing, getting yourself in this space. Prayer is where you start. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Church, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. I know you don't have money in the account. Do not be anxious about anything. I know you don't know how you'll make it to the end of the week. Do not be anxious about anything. I know you don't know how to support your education. Do not be anxious about anything. I know your husband or your wife is not behaving well. Do not be anxious about anything. Or your parents don't get you. Do not be anxious about anything. But what? Prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. That you must pray and petition it to God. Ask God, say, God, help me out with this. Get in the Word. Ask God to help you with that. You see, these scriptures are so simple, so truthful. But if you took time to just unload this scripture, the peace that transcends understanding will be in your soul. You'll begin to feel peaceful, joyful, because you're letting anxiety leave you. But you're beginning to live life. That anxiety holds you back. You can't even navigate. You cannot start the first step because you're so anxious. But if you just let go, then you start figuring out what's the next thing I need to do to make life work here for me. That's why you pray about it and say, God, lead me this way today. With thanksgiving, be grateful for what you have. Present your request to God. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Human beings can't understand how you can be peaceful that way. Will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You start in prayer. Clarity. Let God speak to you as you speak to Him in prayer. So if you've not been praying, you have a reason to start tonight. Amen? Get on and start praying tonight. Petition. And get on in the morning as well. Amen? Let the Spirit lead you through God's Word. Psalm 78, 13, 14, a story we all know, says here that He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. This is the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And it's down in Psalms, and it says He led them. I believe that today God leads us with His Word. Really, He does. I'm amazed how I pray about God, what do I need to hear from you? And I see some topics, I start reading that. And how it speaks to me for my day-to-day life, it's amazing. Sometimes I'm going with a devotion, it's talking to me on what I am going through on a day-to-day basis. So God will lead you, but you have to be in the Word to hear what He's saying to you. And when I say that, God wants to deal with your emotions, not just your mind. What really gets in the way is emotion. Many of us read the Bible mentally, but we've never applied it to your heart, how you feel. I ask you today, be open to the Bible talking to your emotions, how you feel. Let the Bible transform your emotion because you're open to how it talks to you to that. It's an amazing feeling. I wish I could talk the whole morning. But I got to go in a short while. So when you let the Bible speak to emotion, you begin to realize that a lot of what you're letting control you is because you're not letting God say what He says. And so you have nothing to lean on other than your emotion. But if you lean on the Word of God, that peace is amazing. I cannot tell you enough. Please let the Bible go past your mind and speak to your emotions. You'll be amazed how it transforms your life. So that's how He guided them. They would be angry, saying, oh, we're going to die. He'll open the place, take them around. But they had to hear the Word of God. By day was a cloud, by night a fire. We've got to let that be the guiding. The Word of God has to guide us so that we come round. Amen? In finishing, humility allows us to be secure in spiritual living. I have a question for you. Are you secure being a Christian? Are you just very secure in Christ? What happens if you die today? And I don't mean hell. I mean, will you regret? Will you regret, oh man, I'm exiting. You have to remember that this is not home, right? We're going home. This is a transit station. For some of us, 90 years. For some of us, 60 years. For some of us, well, we'll not go below that. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. I believe it's difficult to be able to hear God if you're not humble. But let's face it, humility is a hard thing to do in a culture that dominates, controls, that wants to always just take its way. So how do you do that? How do you do that without losing who you are? Yes, you can stand up to things without being angry, and you can stand up to things and say that's not the godly way, but still be humble and truthful about where you're going. Being humble is not that you walked over, but rather that you open to God's will. Are you open to God's will? He says He'll lift you up in due time. That's a hard thing to do anyway. I mean, I know your boss wants your work done by tomorrow 5 o'clock. It better be done. Everywhere you go, there's timelines. If you're paying rent by a certain time, here, the principle is different. You trust me and I'll lift you up in due time. Do you see how that subconsciously can create a conundrum in your way of thinking? God is God. Human beings are human beings. Systems are systems. But I trust God. So when I'm in a system of a human being, I'll walk with them. But when I'm with God, I'll stick with God's ways. And this is what we got to do. I ask that you ask yourself, are you humble enough to allow God to lift you up in His time? Not on your time, on His time. There are things you want to change. Be patient with God as He walks with you. There are things you want another person to change. Be patient as God walks with them. There are goals you want to achieve. Be patient and do the work because God will bring it about in His time. This morning, I wanted to be clear that yes, the Spirit does work, but we have choices. We have responsibilities. For the Spirit to kick in, we have to make the right choices and walk along with it. God bless you.